This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
When you go to sleep at night, do you ever question why people voted you for president? Got soldiers fighting for your fight, not even grown risking their lives, leaving everything they have behind. Where are we going? It's all up to you. Stop with all of the lies and start telling the truth. Why must you act like there's nothing going on? Like everything is all okay when everything is wrong.
This is my opinion. I will not be silent. See it for what it is. It's hatred and violence. I said, this is my opinion. I will not be silent. See it for what it is. It's hatred and violence.
Remember when the waters ran? People died that could have lived. All because you didn't send them hell. You got mothers robbing stores for food.
Violence and hatred. You're listening to The Other Side of the News, which of course does not engage in violence and hatred, particularly between nation states that cause so many deaths. I'm in the studio here with Del Perry, 614 Records, and tell us a little about that song there, Del P.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, Dr. Bob. It's always a pleasure. That was called Mr. President by Danielle Duty. And she did that about 2005, 2006. And it's just something I wanted to rehash because it's still speaking on, you know, things that are relevant that's happening today. So I just wanted to bring that to the show and share it with you guys. We probably have something else for later on down the line, too.
All right, and you're working on other things as well. We've had you on the show before as a record producer and artist. You're also working on Ban the Box, a Ban the Box campaign. Tell our listeners about that.
Yes, sir. Working on, actually, the next mixtape that's coming out is going to kind of intertwine with what I'm trying to do with this Ban the Box campaign, which is making people aware of... you know, just some injustices that happen to felons and people that have, you know, served time, that have been incarcerated. When they get out and try to change their lives around and do what, you know, society says to do as far as staying out of trouble, you know, doing the necessary things, you know, to be a better person in society, try to be a productive member of society. Well, when you try to do that and you're not given the chance or the opportunity, it's kind of hard. That's why we have such a high recidivism rate right now as we speak, you know, people going in and out of prisons. So, I mean, it affects a lot of families, especially a lot of black families, too. And it's just a sad thing, and it's just this is a cause that I feel near and dear to my heart. Ban the Box campaign, it actually started in 1998 in Hawaii, and they were the first state to actually adopt the Ban the Box campaign, and that's about banning the box for checking a felony, you know, been convicted of a felony, yes or no. It bans the employer from asking that on an initial application, so they can't just throw it away or throw it to the bottom of the pile.
All right, and a lot of this most recent movement was started because of community summits held in California in 2005 and 2006, and the question of employment as well as housing, tremendous discrimination. And in some cases, a lot of these offenses couldn't be used anymore in court, but could be used to keep people from a job or from living in a certain place. Mm-hmm. In your own experiences, have you ever had any problems with Ban the Box or know anyone that has had problems?
Yeah, I can speak on myself and for other people I do know who, you know, have had issues with it. I've myself been convicted of a few felonies. And the thing is, I got charged with them all at one time. So we have a law in Ohio, you know, for expungement. And it only allows you to get one felony expunged. So if you get charged with more than one felony, then you're pretty much, you know, left out in the cold. They forget about you. Like, the law's not perfect. It's far from, I mean, it's not even, I think it needs to be amended, honestly, because for people, you know, if we get one felony expunged, if you have two or more, then you're still going to be a felon and you're still going to have to, you know, deal with that issue. So with the Ban the Box deal, that kind of negates the fact, you know, for people like me, I said, even though, you know, it's kind of excludes me, but for those who are charged with one felony, just so you know, you can't get it expunged and get that off your record or sealed or whatever you need to do. So you can go ahead and be successful in life. But yeah, the Ban the Box deal, it excludes the employer from checking that, from asking you on application pre-employment status. So, I mean, they can ask you after, you know, when they're about to hire you, which is what happens to me oftentimes. You get to the end of the hiring process, the interviews and everything, and then it's that whole, you know, have you been, you have anything on your record that might exclude you from working for us, you know, any felonies or anything. And even though mine are over 11 years old, you know.
And they occurred all at once?
All at once. I was over indicted.
Same event.
Same charges, same everything. And that's the state of Ohio for you. They over indict. Columbus over indicts you. And it basically makes you cop out to some things, you know, to time that you shouldn't be doing, basically. If I knew the things I knew now back then, I wouldn't have done a day in jail. So that's kind of interesting. Once you know the law, ignorance of the law doesn't make you isn't an excuse.
So let's be clear, this doesn't prohibit employers from asking you at an interview whether you have convictions. What this says is on the job application.
Correct.
There's a box. So before you get in the door, essentially your application's thrown in the trash or put on the bottom of the pile or shredded, is you don't even get an interview to explain your circumstances. It was 11 years ago. It was all one incident. I've since attended college. I'm about to graduate. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, all that. Like, I know I'm overqualified, more qualified than a lot of people who in these positions I've applied for. Because the people there said, you know, if you didn't have this, we'd love to have you on the team and blah, blah, blah. But because of this, you can't work in this industry or that industry. And so once you go through that whole process, you know, that's why I went to school and got business and about to graduate with a bachelor's of science in business administration. And I have, you know, my entrepreneurship, a little deal associates in that for my entrepreneurship major. And I went to learn about business to understand the way of the world, because the world's a big business. And just to understand, you know, just to show people also that, you know, if I don't check that box, you know, like I haven't oftentimes, and I get in the door and I make it to the last round of the interviews, and that's when we go through the whole song and dance of, you know, the big reveal or whatever. So I'm just like, this is sad, because people, they treat you differently after they find out about, like, before they find out about my past, you know, I'm treated like a whole different type of person. And then after that, you know, everything's changed. So I know society still got its, you know, bigotry ways and this whole, you know, feelings about people who've been convicted of felonies or whatever, and they hold us in a certain light, and they want to keep us to in that spectrum and that thinking of once a felon, always a felon. But I refuse to do that, and I found a way to work within the system, you know, outside of this deal, which I'm trying to pass, which is, you know, the first step, and hopefully to lead, and, you know, to where we can get a fair shake, just like as if we were never charged with a felony, you know. So that's where I'm ultimately trying to go with this and get some legislation in there. But I mean, it's a wing and a prayer with that. I know what it takes to get legislation through. I don't have the means, the people, the money, the pool, the know-how, or any of that. So, you know, that's just, I don't know. But this is where I'm starting right now. So if I can do something with this and help some people along the way, you know, that's what it's about.
All right, and let's take a look at some of the stats here that pertain to this ban on the box. Every single year in the U.S., about 630,000 individuals are released from state and federal prison. As of December 2001, and this is a long time ago, it was estimated that 64 million people in the U.S. had a state rap sheet. That is 30% of the nation's adult population. And that was from the 2000 census. Jeez. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, the Bureau of Justice Statistics, that coming out of the 2000 census, you've got, you know, the 64 million people that have a criminal record if we're combining state and local. And there's only 209 million people over the age of 18. So you've got a very high amount of people. We know just with the state rap sheets, 30% that are affected. And the assumption is many of the people, much like yourself, have high levels of skills that end up not being used in the workforce, adding to the productivity of the United States.
Yes. There's a lot of talented, skillful, smart people incarcerated. I was incarcerated in Noble Corrections Institution in Noble County, right there on Ohio, Virginia state lines. It's the craziest thing that I've ever been through in my life. But it was a great learning experience, and I met a lot of great souls in there. And these people are very smart. I'm not going to go into detail, name names, but just, I mean, it just shocked me. It just shocked me. It was a whole different world with in and of itself. And just these people, I'm like, dang, they're just going to waste away all their time, talent, energies. Because most of them, I mean, just had, like, drug charges or something, and they had a drug habit, a lot of them. We're around some murderers, people doing life who work their way down from maximum security, but that's their life. Like, they're never getting out. They're going to die in there. So just knowing that, you know, that's what gave me a lot of fuel in my fire to get out and want to be, try to do something productive and do something that might help others, whether it's trying to create a business, you know, whatever it may entail. I'm not certain what the Lord has in store, but I'm just walking, you know, every day like I can. But, yeah, these stats are something crazy. I don't know. Like, just, and then when you have, well, I don't understand, Dr. Bob, is why they have education in these places and all this for you to get your degree, and then you can't even use it. Like, what's that about? I don't even understand that.
Well, there's studies that indicate that the recidivism rate, the rate at which people go back to prison, you know, you'll sometimes hear 50% of the people that are in prison are going to go back, you know, within a certain period.
They tried to tell me that. They said, I'm going to see you back. I said, no, you won't. The hospitality sucked at this place. This establishment was not, I wasn't feeling it. No.
So part of that is what they found a long time ago. Mm-hmm. If people come out with a degree, the more education you get in prison and the more actual practical, technical skills, if you're licensed, in the old days, there used to be a lot of people that were licensed as barbers who came out of prison, is that the more you come out with a skill and with an education, the less likely you are to go back into prison. So let's take a break here. This is The Other Side of the News. I am Dr. Bob Fitrakis. You're listening to 98.3 WCRS 102.1, your community station. And we're going to give you a little music from Del P at 614 Records.
This is for the winners. This is for professionals as well as for beginners. This one for the bosses eating steak and after dinners. This is for the losers. This is for the winners. This is for the losers. This is for the winners. This is for professionals as well as for beginners. This one for the bosses eating steak and after dinners. This is for the losers. This is for the winners.
I be in my studio trying to make my song pay. My mind is on the future, cake. Niggas be stuck on yesterday. I don't mess with a lot of y'all the long way. Cause the path you headed down, you on the wrong way. Remain a starving artist cause I ain't give up my soul. Say what you want about me, I'm in the CO like hallway. Style on your like hair sheen, I'm doing this all day. By myself, I can get paid forever till I die, babe. They want me back in drug trade, the streets is way too ugly. It's no more a part of me, it's severed like an artery. Can't trust nobody, part of me, paranoid, honorary. I can't stand cats, feel I have night lies, honestly. Missed a few opportunities, with this one, I'll succeed. I slow down, I'm sparking lead, I'ma make it soon to see. They'll be making history, giving God the victory. Without using them pistols, please, them losers need to follow me.
Del P making history there. Sounds like a struggle going on in that song. And I don't know who was with you on it, but talking about the pressures to kind of force you back, economic and otherwise, into drug situations. And yeah. Really you saying not going to happen.
Exactly. So, you know, being out... being smart and wising up to the whole system, the whole worldly ways and everything, and finally understanding, you know, about the trap of the drug trade and who really ships it in and brings it in and doesn't do a lick of time, but we end up, you know, the bottom of the totem pole, wind up doing all the time for the littlest amount of stuff because that's how it's designed. Because they make money off of us a lot of different ways, especially with the prison industrial complex, that whole system. You know what, though? This shocked me. Oprah, I found out Oprah owned her little private prison. That's what bugged me about it. I was like, hold on, Oprah, you're supposed to be helping black people out. You know what I'm saying? She's owning the prisons and stuff, and she ain't talking nothing about trying to help people, you know, with their situations or things like that, or people who are, you know, who have influence or things like that, how they just sit back and are just silent on issues. You know, it's just shocking, so... especially when you know everything that's going on. So, yeah, I'd like to touch on those subjects through my music and everything like that. I'm about to, you know, how Tupac was very conscious about his music. You know, Nas was at one point very conscious, Common Sense. And a lot of those people who I listened to was influenced by. And that's what I'm trying to bring back to the hip-hop culture, which seems has lost their way totally. You don't know what's going on. So that's what, you know, it's the struggle. The struggle's still going on for... you know, blacks, whites, you know, the Latinos, everybody. You know, everybody's got an issue and something that's going on that's not right. And I'm just speaking for on my behalf and what I could speak on for me personally. So that's why the Band of Box deal is such a near and dear cause to my heart. And hopefully I will be making a Facebook page for this one after I leave the show here today. So you could just type in Band the Box, you know, Columbus, Ohio, because it was passed in Cleveland and Cincinnati. It's kind of funny.
So it's already been passed in those cities?
Yeah, it's passed in Cleveland and Cincinnati, and it just seems to have skipped Columbus, and nobody even knew about it. I never even knew about this until you know, I started going through the expungement process and trying to.
You missed the whole embrace the box campaign.
Yeah, that whole deal. That went
ignore
right.
Ignore the box campaign. Columbus City Council and the mayor at their finest. Ignore the box campaign.
Speaking of, I emailed everybody, mayors, governors, House representative, all that. It was, and I only got response back from the governor, John Kasich's office, and they told me, you know, they gave me some ideas. You know, they said, you know, we basically, you know, feel for you. You know, you can apply for clemency. So that was their idea to kind of, you know, try to. I said, well, clemency, you got to kind of know people, and I don't know how many. Is that like pardoning somebody once you're the president and you're about to leave office? You have a certain amount of pardons you can give or something.
Yeah, pardons and clemency, they're the executive powers. Usually unfettered of the executive of the state or the U.S. president. Remember, Gerry Ford pardoned Richard Nixon from any crimes that he could be indicted in.
Wow.
In the future. Probably cost him the election in 1976. Yeah, in fact, the most famous pardons in probably in Ohio history. Well, there's a couple famous ones. Dick Celeste, on his way out, pardoned all the women that were on death row. He commuted their sentence. Actually, commutation. He commuted it from the death penalty to life in prison.
Wow.
And, of course, Jim Rhodes was very famous because he pardoned and let out of prison Black Jack Licavoli, the famous mobster from Cleveland, which then, of course, Life magazine did a big article, The Governor and the Mob, suggesting, you know, there was some relationships there between the governor and the mob, and somebody, perhaps the mob, may have pulled some strings.
All about who you know. That's what I've been told.
So you may be right about that. But who knows in terms of clemency? Actually, that's an interesting commentary, that the only people that are really feeling you to some extent are the governor. But actually, the governor in this case, while I disagree with him on a variety of issues, he's a budget hawk, and he really understands that it's incredibly costly to lock people up for long periods of time and to keep them from practicing professions because, you know, they had minor, you know, drug addictions and ended up selling a small amount of illegal drugs. So in this case, him being a bit libertarian and a fiscal conservative may actually work to people's advantage. The other thing we've left out so far, Del P, is, of course, the racist nature of the drug war. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really targets people of color, black people, particularly black males, and, of course, poor people, you know, because those that, you know, can get their own private lawyer often don't end up with that fifth-degree felony for drug corruption, end up getting a misdemeanor, and they plead to something that has nothing to do with drugs.
That was even with
drugs.
The lawyer. That was with the lawyer.
In your case?
Yeah. $15,000 later, that was it. It had, you know, they give you two everything, two felony ones, felony twos, felony three. That's what I got charged with at one time.
So you got how the hell do you get a felony one?
Just a lot of people talking. I got overcharged. They overcharged me, people talking, and a lot of things like that. They had me
your
like.
Your friends talking?
Yeah, they had me like
friends?
I was a big, some big John Gotti type person or something. I'm like, I'm far from, look at how I'm living. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't nothing extravagant. Like, it was weird, Doc. But yeah, they put that pressure on you. They can sit there
and
sweat
it out.
Did
they have a name for your group?
No, they said I was a leader of a gang known Gehenna.
You were like, you know, the Gehenna.
No, I was just people I was hanging with. Like.
Gangsta disciples.
No, never that.
Usually they, you know, make up a name. The Short North Posse.
No, they didn't make up a name. It was just, it was supposed to be an alleged whatever. And I said, wow. they got this story backwards.
I know, you read the media, the paper, and yeah, you go, this guy is bad. That's
a
like,
bad guy.
No,
say,
wait,
who
that's
are they talking
name
about? Yeah, yes, sir, just like that.
And then 11 years later, even though you're charged in one incident, it impacts when you go and try to do a job interview.
Yes.
So what would you like to see happen? I mean, where are you? It sounds like you're just in the beginning stages of trying to organize.
Yeah, I'm at the very beginning stages because I've just acquired a lot of knowledge about this, and I've learned about the you know, the, everything from how the other states have done it, and Cleveland and Cincinnati as well, and trying to get some kind of legislation to model after that, and to get somebody to bring it up in the House and everything, like... It's a tall order, so I know there's much that needs to be done, but just knowing about this is the first step, and then trying to make people aware is the next step, and then trying to gather people, of course, is the ultimate goal, to make everybody aware, because everybody has somebody in their family who has been charged or something who's not getting a fair shake in life because of a past mistake or mistakes they may have committed. And they've already served time, paid their debt to society, and we're still out here suffering and serving time, paying our debt to society, just being locked up. Just because you're free don't mean you're not being enslaved or anything, or being held down out here. So it's just a different form of prison, because you're not allowed to do things. You know, they still tell you what to do, when to do, how to do it. So it's just, you know, you got a card, you could go travel a little bit. That's about it.
Yeah, so if we think about this, is that these people coming out of prison are trying to feed themselves, and in some cases have families.
The kids.
They're trying to pay rent.
Right.
And they also have skills that they want to contribute to the community, and all that is stopped to a large extent by Ban the Box. Also, I know when they were involved in the Los Angeles, San Francisco areas, the community summits on this, is that the unemployment rate for people coming out of prison is 70 to 90%. It's not real easy to get a job. I don't know what your situation was when you came out, but 10% or more of the people who come out of prison end up homeless. And in certain urban areas,
been there, done that.
San Francisco and Los Angeles, it was 30 to 50% end up homeless. What was your situation like?
I've been homeless. Did that. Was in the shelter. All kinds of stuff. You know, it just humbles you. And it's just very eye opening when you get out and you see that really it's not made for you to win. Period. Like, you're just supposed to work at a fast food place and accept your lot in life. Well, I don't play like that, so I refuse to have any terms dictated to me like that. I'm a free person, a free individual, and I pay my debt to society, admitted my wrong, and, you know, it's time to move on. So I'm not going to pay for it every day. So that's what I've been doing for 11-plus years, you know, so that's, they're just keeping their foot on our necks. But I don't know, I see the government's hiring people, like felons for TSA and stuff like that. I might have to look into that.
Yeah, and on one level, it's almost counterintuitive, but it actually helps public safety and creates a safer community by not having a whole lot of people just out of prison, unstable, desperate, unemployed. Is actually, the more you get them employed, the more you reunite them with their family, the more you integrate them into the community, the more you give them health care, the least likely they are to commit crimes.
I agree with you totally, wholeheartedly on that.
Del P, working on Ban the Box. So check out his website. He's going to be working on that soon.
You
said
can find
perhaps
me on
even today.
Facebook, just Del, D-E-L-P-E-R-R-Y. And you'll see updates, and I'll inform everybody what's going on. I have two pages, too. Del Perry, you can request either or. It doesn't matter at this
All right,
point.
This is Bob Fitzgerald, the other side of the news. Let's go out with a few sounds from Del P.
Thank you, Doc.
Hey, Fresh.
Del P.
Yo.
That King of the music right
here. Since it's all good.
In the building.
I'm still waiting for you. I said I'm steady, but enough for you.